Thank you, Mayu. The men and women who live in the Western world believe themselves to be very sophisticated. Modern men and modern women believe themselves to know how to behave and just what to say. They know how to behave and they know how to dress in public. They know how to establish meaningful relationships with others. And these individuals look at the dress of others, and they look at the behavior of others, and they make judgments. These individuals look at the state of dress or undress of another, and they express visible shock and or disgust. They may refer to these people they see as indecently dressed. And if these individuals who are doing the judging happen to be in the company of another, there is a certain behavior that is exhibited to indicate their disapproval. Now, this disapproval takes the form of maybe a remark, a raised eyebrow, a shrug of the shoulder, or a turned up nose. And those who are doing the judging visibly demonstrate indignation at the uncleanliness of body or the disheveled appearance. These particular individuals, they go about their lives displaying judgment according to their values. They believe that their values are the only right ones, and they're the ones for everyone else. A man or a woman may look like a bum, and they may think that they are bums, and they may think like bums. And they can go all through their entire lifetimes living a life that is no better than that of an animal. They can always be scavenging for food, searching for a place to lay down their heads, a place on a park bench, or on a sidewalk, or in an alley on a grate for heat for the winter. But this does not change the truth that these down and out individuals have all the potential of godhood and sonship and divinity with them and in them at all times and in all places. And who is it to say that these men and these women who have been scorned, mocked, ridiculed, despised, and judged are no better than trash or animals will come to the realization of their true nature today? We can waste years of great living. We can waste years of fulfilled life, but it does not change the truth that we are all the children of God right now. When we as individuals awaken to the truth of ourselves, when we truly realize that we are who we are and what we are, our outer experiences will automatically change for the better. We are all familiar with the story of the prodigal son. Regardless of all of the trials and all of the tribulations and all of the difficult situations that he found himself in, he was always, always the father's son. It is this separation which we initiate in our belief that opens the door for all manner of negative human experiences in our lives. The vacuum created by this separation is filled with temporary states of limited human experiences, such as disease, poverty, unhappiness, and ignorance, or even riches and health. All of these are still only temporary states of expression. The appearance of a thing does not matter. The appearance is only the result of a sense of separation. Each and every one of us on earth longs to be complete and whole. In truth, we only long to be reunited with our one and only source. But since most of mankind are unaware of their source, they interpret wholeness and completeness in terms of human experiences, such as enough money, physical and mental health, and companionship. In the story of the prodigal son, the moment the son returned to the father's house, he was instantly restored to all that his father had. That which we call healing is a demonstration or a consciousness that has become a little closer in its awareness that what God is, we are also. Healing in any aspect of life is the outer manifestation of an inner awareness of our divinity. No matter how small that awareness may be, he that is but a little in the kingdom of heaven, in the care of total good, is greater than he who has his being in the world. Every aspect of wholeness that comes into our lives has nothing to do with diet, exercise, or heredity. It has to do with our sense of identification, our beliefs. In truth, we have never been separated from our good. We have never been separated from our wholeness and our completeness. It does not matter what we are demonstrating right now. We are already a complete and perfect son of God this very moment. Paul tells us, neither death nor life shall be able to separate us from the love of God. It is through consciousness that we acquire a sense of separation. It is through consciousness that we are restored. Remember, all of life is an expression of consciousness. We do not always express what we think, but we consistently express that which we think and feel about something. The law that brings forth demonstration is totally impersonal. Each and every individual on this plane is infused with the creative principle of life. We must constantly be aware that within us is a law that is completely responsive to our mental and emotional states of mind and our hearts. Whatever we hold in our hearts grows and grows and seeks embodiment. It does not matter how patient you are with your child or your partner yesterday, or how kind you were with your neighbors, or how much of a hard worker you were for your employer last week. It is the present state of attitude which we hold in our hearts that will seek embodiment. Yesterday I was a child, and I thought like a child, and I harvested the rewards of a child. Today I see things differently. To be judged today by what I was yesterday is, as Khalil Gibran said, to judge a chain by its weakest link. The law is that a specific consciousness will always reproduce a like or a similar result. And as we grow, the weak links are replaced by stronger ones. Throughout the centuries, many have attempted to explain why individuals, obviously without any moral principles, often experience wealth, high positions, and control. While at the same time, the masses, people who are obedient to the laws of their land and to the laws of their church, continue to experience poverty, deprivation, and unhappiness. It seems so unjust to see people who are obviously very religious, who go to church every Sunday, who are kind and gentle to all, and charitable beyond their means and their efforts. It seems unjust to see them suffer and go throughout their lives unhappy and sick. Many religions teach that these individuals will get their rewards in a life beyond this one. But for those who have families to feed, for those who are in pain, for those who have responsibilities to meet, and no source of supply, the promise of reward in an afterlife is of absolutely no help. Jesus, the master teacher of the world, came teaching us through short little stories or parables. All of the parables that he told dealt with the unfolding of consciousness of man, the unfolding process which is taking place in each and every one of us. He taught through parables how an invisible idea in mind becomes a thing. Through the parables, he revealed infinite intelligence, law, and order. He explained through these parables that consciousness is causation. He explained that consciousness as cause works according to law. And he taught that the law was exact. Nona Brooks, a founder of our beautiful teaching, realized that until we as individuals discover that we are healing with law rather than personalities, we will delude ourselves into thinking and acting just as we please, believing that there are no consequences. Whatever you feel in your heart as a belief or as an attitude is exactly what you will reap in your experience. There is no outside power. There is no outside force. There is nothing outside of yourself that is doing anything to you or to me or to any man, any woman, or any child. We cannot hide what we feel in our hearts. We cannot hide our attitudes. Just take a look at what is happening in our United States and even in the world today. Whatever we harbor deep within our hearts will be revealed. We are told time and time and time and time again that whatever was held in secret, that is, in our hearts, would be revealed openly. Haven't we been told, when thou givest alms, be it in secret, and the Father shall reward you openly. When we pray, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When ye fast, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And to fast does not mean to abstain from food. It means to abstain from thoughts of negation and limitation. Jesus said, whatever you have spoken in secret shall be shouted from the rooftops. This Father which seeth all things in secret and gives substance to your world is the activity of your consciousness. Consciousness is the Father within you which doeth the works. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and the Father does give each of us daily according to our hearts. What is in your consciousness as a belief or an attitude is being shouted out into the world to see. to increase your attendance at church, to be more polite, to say twice as many prayers will not improve your condition or your situation. The Master Jesus did not mince his words. He said to the scribes and to the Pharisees, "Ye clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." He said, "Cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may also be clean." In other words, do not concern yourself with the outer effects of your life or the outer things. Manipulating effects does nothing. Consciousness is the Father within you that doeth the works. Consciousness expresses what you harbor in your heart, regardless if it is good, bad, or indifferent. Clean your mind, and your outer world of appearances will also be clean. You are a king. You are a ruler. You have dominion because you rule over your inner kingdom. And as you rule your inner kingdom, so will your outer world conform. The law is exact. We tell you this all the time. As within, so without. Now the Bible is filled with stories of different kings and different rulers. And each king that is introduced in the Bible signifies a specific level of ruling consciousness. At one time in our lives, we have a good ruler sitting on our throne, and at other times, we have a poor ruler. We can easily identify our ruling states of consciousness by what we demonstrate. Blessed are we that can change a bad king for a better king when we learn to quiet our frantic human opinions. We begin changing our ruling states of consciousness when we learn to become still and quiet, when we begin to leave the without and go within. The Christ Jesus gave us a parable concerning a king who decided to have a wedding feast, a joyful occasion. He commanded his servants to go out into the kingdom and invite whoever they could find. And when the king came in to see the invited guests, he noticed one that was not properly dressed. His appearance was not fit for such a feast. And he called his servants and he said, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness." In the midst of building consciousness, in our moments of stillness and in quietness, while we are in meditation or while we are contemplating thoughts of peace or love or harmony, while we are attempting to fill our minds with thoughts of goodness, on occasional thought of ugliness or hate or fear or hurt will creep in. In the midst of our invited guests of love and peace and goodwill, a stranger not fit for the feast comes in. At these times, we are instructed to remove it immediately, for it has no place in a feast that is for rejoicing. It has no place in the gathering of good thoughts. Let us begin right now to prepare for a feast for the celebration of a new king. Let us begin this very moment to begin cleaning the inside of our cup. Let us begin right now casting out those thoughts which we hold in secret that are contrary to our good. For the Father which seeth in secret shall reward each one of us according to that which we hold in our hearts. Today, as we return to our Father's house, all manner of good shall come unto us. For our Father is saying to you, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. Child, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your seat. And rest your feet flat on the floor. And place your hands in a comfortable position in your lap or at your side. And just relax for a moment. Relax and take a deep breath in. A deep, deep cleansing breath in and release it out slowly. And as we slowly release that breath, we are letting go. We are letting go of everything that is outside this peaceful and holy place. Let go of any worrisome thoughts that are swirling around in your head. Let go of what is going on outside in the world. Let go of the news and the broadcasts and the newspapers. Let go of all appearances. Let go of anger and resentment and jealousy. Let go. Just let go of all of it and be still. Be still and go deep within. Go deep within to the center where your Father waits. His arms are open and he welcomes you with his unconditional love and his peace. Right here and right now, this very moment, in the center of my being, is my Father. My Father is my consciousness of all good. This consciousness knows what thoughts I have. This consciousness knows the prayers and the hopes and the dreams of my heart. This consciousness within the center of my being is answering all of my prayers. I now fill my heart with love. I now fill my heart with harmony and with supply. And I fill my heart with a humbleness to be led toward my good. Not my will, Father, but thy will be done in me. I thank you, Father, for having heard me, and I know that you hear me always. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and he gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love. He gives you his wisdom and his peace. He gives you his total good. Amen.